Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. I am Ken Edwards. Sitting to my right, as per usual, Ed Maher with the NCL.
Good morning, right-hand man.
That's right, absolutely. And sitting to my left-hand man, Phil Davidson, Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning.
How's it going?
Very well. Happy last day of summer, I believe.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, technically.
How was your golf trip?
It was very well.
How'd you play?
Not very well.
Okay.
The trip was great.
Yeah, that's what you go for.
Yeah. Exactly. You had a good time?
Had a great time.
I just got back from Philly.
How was that?
It was rough.
Just like Philly.
So it's just a rough town. Like they just don't mess, they don't mess around.
Nobody threw D batteries at you or anything like that?
No, but it was an interesting experience. But I got to spend some great time with my son, and that was fun. But you want to talk about...
Did you get a cheesesteak?
I'm not eating one. Enjoy of those the ambient hostility that is Philadelphia.
Well, when it's hot in Philadelphia, it's like Philly hot, which is like it's garbage stench.
Because and everybody's
all the garbage
grouchy.
Is in the front of the street because there's no alleys, just like New York. So, but the unfortunate thing is they don't pick it up. So there's just garbage all over the place. It's a tough town.
Yeah, there's a lot of littering in Philadelphia.
Oh, my God.
I've never been there. I'm just
assuming.
Did you
go to a game or anything? Was there anything happening?
No, I just watched some football. And, yeah. You know, I saw my son's new place and his roommates, and it was great. We had a good time. So, listen, I got to report on this one thing. We keep talking about this Boeing strike and how it's over. It just doesn't seem to get over.
There's a new twist.
There's a new twist, all right? So the Boeing strike, you know, people that make the fighter planes in Missouri, St. Louis area, 3,200 of them, I think, machinists are on strike, and they rejected, I think, the third offer, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that's right.
And so what the machinists decide to do is do this. They're going to take their own offer back to their members and say, we have a pre-ratified agreement for you, Boeing. Here it is. And Boeing has said, what?
Boeing is aware of this, what is in this, and they've said that they will never agree to it. So I guess we'll find out if you'll never agree to it.
Did you ever try something like that?
It's so funny. I never even thought about something like that. So, like, it's just like.
Ken has had to have tried this before.
Listen, if I had thought about it, I would have tried it. It's like, here's the deal. I'm not going to actually negotiate with you guys anymore. I'm just going to talk to my own group. I'm going to come up with a deal that we've already approved and just give it to you.
Yeah,
and if you guys, like, I hope you sign it.
Yes.
Yeah.
A little bit of one-sided bargaining.
We are willing to accept this very generous offer.
It is crazy. This is how much money you are going to give us, and we hereby accept it.
Hey, listen, I hope it works.
Oh, my God, I hope to hell it works, because that would be a cool new thing.
Yeah, we need some good news, or at least some fun news.
I'll give you some more good news if you want to hear quasi-good news, and that is Amazon is putting in $1 billion in raising wages and lowering health care costs for their workers.
Couldn't dodge it any longer?
Just like getting so much pressure from unions. They're pushing wages
up. $1
billion? $1 billion.
So that covers what?
Half of what my family spends on Amazon every year.
Exactly.
But anyway, those are my two interesting topics. We had a massive show today. We have Illinois State Treasurer Mike Frerichs. Right? Am I saying that?
Frerichs.
I always screw that up. Mike Frerichs, who's a really smart Renaissance man, great dude, and really interesting. And then we have Danielle Burton from Megan Financial as well coming in. So it really is like a big...
Also very smart.
A money show today, if you will, right?
A money show.
Yeah. So, you know that? Money show.
Like what you did there.
Thank you so much. We'll be right back with more of The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Worker's Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. Ken, Ed, Phil, and we are stoked today to have with us Mike Frerichs, the Illinois State Treasurer. Now, you're a constitutional officer.
I am. I'm one of six constitutional officers elected by the public.
Uh-huh.
I guess Lieutenant Governor is elected with the governor, so maybe there's five.
Okay. And so how long have you been treasurer?
First got elected in 2014, so we're in my 11th year now.
How many terms is that?
In my middle of my third term. We have no term limits in Illinois.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, that's a good point. So, all right, let's do some quick background, right? You are born and raised in Illinois?
I was in a big city in East Central Illinois, Gifford.
Oh, Gifford.
The sign said Gifford 800 as a kid growing up.
A sprawling metropolis.
Yes.
Champaign County?
Champaign County, Northeast Champaign County. Yeah, if you were driving down Route 136 and blinked, you might miss it.
Okay. I feel like that. And so you have...
But that was a big city for me. My parents were both born at home on the farm.
Wow.
So they moved into town.
Yeah.
Their parents were all born
at home. So their population, too.
grew the town by moving in. They were the first generation to... I'm the first generation to go to college. Mm-hmm. My parents were the first generation to attend high school.
Wow.
All their parents had to drop out 6th, 7th, or 8th grade.
To work the farm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No pressure on your kids at all.
So you have a labor background, at least from your family, and you said your father was a Teamster, correct?
Yeah. So my dad grew up on a dairy farm. Uh-huh. He worked hard, worked his hands, but my grandfather was a tenant farmer. They didn't have a lot of money.
Right.
And so when my dad got to be 18, my grandpa had a conversation with him and said, Jim, this farm doesn't make enough to support all of us. You got to get a job.
Yeah.
He went to work at a grain elevator, started driving a truck, and he learned that. He became a Teamster, and then eventually he started working construction projects, hauling rock, asphalt, oil.
Fantastic.
So some of his best friends are laborers and operating engineers.
Yeah.
And your mom?
My mom similarly grew up in this small town. She got a job at the University of Illinois as a secretary and got organized by AFSCME.
Okay, fair enough. So you have a labor background, and that's important, right?
And then I think so. My brother, college wasn't for him. Mm-hmm. He actually went through two apprenticeships, became an operating engineer, and then got offered a good job at the University of Illinois, but had to learn a second trade, so went through apprenticeship and became a carpenter.
Wow, how fortunate for him. How fortunate for him. He saw the light.
Well, I saw the crowds booing, Phil.
Tell me, like, were your parents, did they instill union values at a young age? Were they telling you, like, it's so important to collectively bargain and be part of this and know your rights?
Yeah, my parents knew this. They weren't active in their union, but they knew that they had a decent wage because there were people out there went out and fought for this. They knew that we got to enjoy weekends because of unions. And so the mechanism, how they got it, they didn't really discuss, but they appreciated the unions, what the unions did for them.
Yeah, that's awesome. So let's drill down and talk some specifics, because people are like, why do you have the state treasurer on the workers' mic? And we're about to tell you, because there is an intersection between what you do for a living in your department and workers. And so a really cool example is something that you did recently with the Chicago Federation of Labor. And can you explain that?
So when I came into office, I came at the same time as Bruce Rauner.
Mm-hmm.
And Bruce Rauner, I was there at the inauguration where he pretty much declared
I already used the boo war button once. Yes,
I
remember.
We don't have enough boo buttons for that.
We remember that war.
I remember that inauguration where he basically declared war. It was very clear he was pushing right to work. And a lot of my friends in organized labor were under attack.
Yeah, the turnaround agenda.
I said, what is it we can do? One of the things we could do was we looked at our unclaimed property.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people know about iCash. Hopefully your listeners know they can check at iCash.illinoistreasurer.gov to see if we have money that belongs to them.
Yep.
But a lot of people in unions didn't know we had money for them as well. And so we dug through and found money while they were in this fight. And I was happy recently out at Labor Day CFL celebration to bring about $500,000 in unclaimed property for unions around Chicago metropolitan area.
Is the thing.
I get to play Santa Claus 365 days a year, always bringing treats and goodies.
But this was not for the individual members. This was for the unions as an institution.
Yeah.
So like unions that may have, you know, some unclaimed property or dollars and cents somewhere that they didn't know about, you were able to drill down and go, hey, unions, we just found you $500,000.
Yeah.
That's huge. That's like, you know, that's, you can hire an organizer for that money.
Right.
You know
that money goes right back into the union.
That's right.
And that's for other businesses as well as individuals as well, right?
Yep. You can find it for individuals, nonprofits, businesses, labor unions. And I know that when we put that money into their accounts, they will spend that in a way that is better for the economy and better for working people than it is just sitting in a bank account in Springfield.
Yeah. I mean, I found money years ago when this first started. It's probably a decade ago now. I found money from like a deposit from Comcast or something like that on an old apartment. And I'm sure once I got that money in my checking account, I'm sure I spent it right away.
Very wisely.
No question about it.
That's really cool. And so, say it again. If somebody thinks that they have unclaimed property or just wants to check, or if you're a union leader, right, that wasn't there or wasn't in the Chicago Federation of Labor, but you're downstate, right, where do you go?
You can go to IllinoisTreasurer.gov and then click on unclaimed property, or go directly there at ICASH.IllinoisTreasurer.gov.
Yeah,
it's a simple thing there. Put in yourself.
Yep.
Also check for family members.
Oh, good idea.
Because one, if you have deceased family members, if parents or grandparents have passed, a lot of money comes to us because they didn't tell their kids, they didn't tell their family all of the places that they parked their money. And when they passed, if you didn't go to that bank and get it, it sat there until it was turned over to us.
Right. Okay. That makes sense.
It's been interesting for the carpenters because, you know, we're a council and we've had a lot of consolidation, a lot of mergers with local unions. So it's been like a walk down memory lane. There's been locals that have thousands of dollars in accounts that have been disbanded for decades.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So who gets that money? The
My
council?
Ex-wife.
Me.
Ed's ex-wife gets all the money.
She found a way.
So it comes to us, and then if the Midwestern carpenters can show that, hey, that was once a former union that has been rolled into us,
sure,
it goes to them.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Look at the carpenters making money.
Yep.
Right?
Always finding out ways to.
I like it. All right, let's switch topics. Bright Start, right? Now, Bright Start had some problems back in the day, did it not?
It did. When I came into office, it was one of the poorest rated programs in the country. Yeah. We've gone from, like I said, worst to first.
Okay.
And that's not just me saying that. Mm-hmm. It's not like President Trump exaggerating. This is Morningstar. This is Time Magazine, Fortune.
Just for the record, President Trump does not exaggerate.
He lies. He doesn't exaggerate.
Hey-o. So wait, you're first now? Like Bright Start's the number one in the country?
We are gold rated. We were rated one of the best programs according to Fortune, Business Insider, a couple other sources out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because we came and we fought on behalf of our plan participants, not on Wall Street. We had a Wall Street firm managing the program before.
Okay.
And they came in and said, oh, Treasurer, we can't make these changes. I said, I want to see more people like me.
Right.
Who came from working class families saving for college. Because my parents didn't save for college. They didn't know how to. It wasn't a thing that they thought about.
Same, yep.
And
that's why I was forced to go to Queens College. Had I saved, I could have gone to like where you went.
It had nothing to do with right? That was the only school you could get into?
No, it was the closest one to my house, Phil.
Oh, God,
I think
sorry,
everybody knows that. I could walk there, and that was my parameter. So I applied to all schools that I could walk to.
It was all about proximity. I forgot.
Yeah.
He's a neighborhood guy.
I like to keep it in the neighborhood. You know what I mean?
Fair enough.
Yeah. So,
but we wanted to help families save so that they have greater opportunities. And it's not every kid needs to go to a 4-year university.
Mm-hmm.
But they need to get some sort of education, training, or skill post high school. So that can be at a community college, a vocational program, a trade school.
Okay.
It can be
an apprenticeship.
So is that new?
That is new.
Okay.
Since coming in office, myself, I used to be the president of the National Association of State Treasurers, and the state treasurers lobbied on behalf of this nationally until we got it passed a few years ago.
So that's when you say get it passed, you have to get it through like the IRS regs?
Had to get it passed through federal Congress, mm-hmm. and then through state as well.
All right, so say this again now, right? So let's say you don't know whether your kid is going to want to go to college, right? And people are kind of sort of hedging their bets nowadays and going, maybe you don't need to come out with all this debt. Maybe the building trades is better for you. You could still throw in a couple of $1,000 a year that goes in tax. It goes in pre-tax, correct?
Yep.
And it earns interest.
You can take a deduction on your state taxes,
mm-hmm.
and then it comes out of from the account, and the federal government will not tax the growth on that.
Assuming that you use it for
a approved higher education expense. But that can be any of those things that I said. And for the apprenticeship, it can be used for your tools, for safety equipment,
mm-hmm.
For additional training if you need something like that. And if they go into a union and find that they don't have that much expense, there's money left over, then it can seed their retirement.
Mm-hmm.
Up to $35,000 can be rolled over into their IRA.
Oh, that's
or
awesome.
It can be transferred to a sibling or their children. And say, like, hey, I chose not to go that way, but maybe my kids will need it. and I'll just transfer the beneficiary to my children.
So you're not going to lose this money.
It's really difficult to lose that money. Now, some parents will say, I don't know if my kid's going to college, but I know my kid is going to be a star athlete.
Right.
And if they do go to college, they're going to get a full ride.
Yeah.
Well, when not every kid gets a full ride.
You know that. You know that when your kid's playing like a T-ball?
Yeah.
look at the way he hits that T-ball.
He can't tie his cleats, but he's got a big swing.
Some kids are just born with it. Yeah. You know?
But if that happens, if your kid qualifies for a $20,000 scholarship, you can take $20,000 out of that account tax-free.
Wow. Really?
Okay.
So no penalty?
Consider that insurance. No penalty.
Whoa.
Up
all
to
right.
the amount of the scholarship.
Time for now, golf
if your kid
lessons.
if you save $100,000 and your kid gets a $5,000 scholarship, you've got a problem with that other 95.
Yeah.
But I don't think a lot of families out there are going to be worried that maybe I've saved too much.
Sure. Wow. How do you like that? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Phil, you better get those kids into a sport.
Do they offer video game scholarships now? Is that
you know? I've
E-sports.
Not seen that, but I know that they recruit kids.
Do they?
And they have college teams for video
they
gaming.
Do.
And I
okay,
that's an actual thing, Phil.
I mean, that's my route. Let's go.
Let's do it. Well, you mean you?
Well, me too. But yeah. I'm going to be a post-secondary college student. But
so when you're in the man cave, you just tell your wife, "Honey, I'm studying.
Exactly.
I'm preparing
exactly.
for my second career."
So
that's
really cool. That's really cool. So for those of you listening out there, I don't see a downside to tossing in a little bit of money into this 529 plan, because at the end of the day, if your kid goes to school, you can use it for that. If your kid decides not to go to school and becomes, building trades, you can use it for that.
Yeah.
If it just sits there, eventually you can go to your kid's kids or whoever, right?
So I'd say not only is there no downside, there is one upside. There's a study that showed if a young person knows they have a college savings account in their name, they're 3 times more likely to go to college.
That's interesting.
If they're the first generation, they're 7 times more yeah. likely to go to
Whoa.
College. And the reason is not because there's money there and we can afford it, but it's the message you send to a young person.
Like this
when
is
you
important.
Sit down and yeah. say, mommy and daddy are putting money aside in your college savings fund. You know, what kids hear is, you're smart.
Yeah.
You are college material.
We believe in
we
you.
We believe in you. And that makes a big difference. When someone invests in you, kids don't want to disappoint. But when they hear things like, we can't afford that.
Right.
We're not college people. Then kids don't work as hard in high school. If you just give them a goal, they'll work hard in high school, and they don't need to go there,
yeah.
but they do need to apply themselves in high school, because you've probably seen this in the trades here. We have a problem with too many kids coming out of high school who can't read a ruler.
That's for sure.
Who can't work with fractions.
Yeah.
And for people to say, that, oh, you're just working with your hands, frequently these are skilled trades.
That's for sure.
People They're have to have some basic understanding of math, and if kids apply themselves in their math class,
yeah.
they will do better in their apprenticeship.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's super cool. All right, listen, we want to thank you for coming in. Really appreciate all the work that you're doing for the people of Illinois. I would be remiss to not tell the audience that you are the tallest treasurer in the country.
In the country, that is true.
Yeah.
That so I can confirm.
You got another number one.
What's who's second? How far have you got them?
Well, so it's funny. A few years ago, a bunch of treasurers got together. We looked around the room,
yeah.
and you've all heard that taller people do better in elections.
Yeah.
We looked around, and I was the tallest at 6'8". Oregon was about 6'7".
Wow.
West Virginia at that time was probably 6'5", 6'6". Arizona was like 6'4". New Jersey was 6'4". Missouri at one time was 6'7". And there was just something about height in treasurers. Now, some of those people have moved on to other jobs, and they've been replaced with people who are shorter. But there was a period there.
We want to keep it tall.
Yeah. I'm 6'5", and you make me insecure about my height. It's a feeling I'm not accustomed to, and I don't like it.
Not about your weight.
Don't do
it
about
your weight.
I have no shame whatsoever about that.
All right, listen, thank you so much for coming in. We'll be
Thanks
right
for
back.
Having me.
Yeah, hell
it's
yeah.
a great opportunity.
Absolutely. It's really cool. We'll be right back with more of The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Workers' Mic. More show to come. Sponsored by Hinge Health. Hinge Health specializes in personalized digital exercise therapy designed for hardworking people, just like you. It's pain relief without waiting rooms and costly medications. Visit hingehealth.com today. Now, back to the show.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. Ken, Ed, Phil, that was pretty cool with the treasurer, huh?
Yeah,
he's a good dude.
Laid-back guy.
Right? Just like he's smart, he's funny, German. Who would have thought?
He's tall.
Do you have a man crush?
He sounds like he's, yeah. Hey, it's that
hey,
German.
Hey, Phil. I am as God made me. Okay. All right. What if I did? So anyway, pivoting here, we are psyched to have Danielle Burton. You are the, what is it, investment executive for Megan Financial.
Yes,
right?
one of many.
For those of you that know us, Megan Financial is our main sponsor of this show.
Yep.
Actually, the one that got us into WGN and said, you guys should have a show and we're going to sponsor it. And you guys do a fantastic job for us, the building trades, all of our members, quite frankly, around the country now, helping people navigate their finances.
Yes, thank you. And likewise.
And we appreciate it.
We appreciate being here and we appreciate you guys too.
Really?
Yes.
Even Ed?
She was being polite.
Mostly.
Mostly.
Ouch.
Hey-o. You don't want to make any carpenter jokes or anything?
No, because my family were all carpenters.
Yeah, you can pick on that, but whatever you do, don't pick on Phil. We kick
your
Phil
family,
around.
Your family is carpenters?
Yes, my dad, my grandfather, my uncles, all in the Wisconsin Carpenters
Local. How do you like
really?
That?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They used
their
to be
whole
part
lives.
Of our council.
There you go. We need to talk to those guys.
We do.
We certainly do. All right, so tell us, real brief, how long have you been working at Megan?
Since 2012.
And wow, that's a long time. And what's your background?
So I started in this industry before I actually came to Megan, up in Wisconsin where I'm from, and then came down here and started in the trades. It was kind of a natural fit because I was already working in, you know, investments and finance. And of course, my union background with my family kind of made it very easy for me to relate to members that I was meeting with.
Yeah, that's awesome. So your background, you come from a labor background, and you graduate college, and you come down to Chicago. What made you move to Chicago?
So I actually met my husband at one of our events that we go to. His family also works in this business, has been for over 100 years now.
Is he a Bears fan?
Yes.
Ha-ha.
It's not easy in our household. Well, it is easy when the...
Stop it. Yeah. Stop it. Don't say it.
Yeah, no, it's not easy,
easy
for
me.
Everything's going to be different this week.
Easy. Sure.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Every week. It's been a nice transition for me because it was always what I was dealing with anyway, watching my dad, you know, go up, get up for work every day, see how the hard work that goes into building those labor benefits and now getting to help members that feel just like my own family.
That's good.
So
that's awesome.
It ends up feeling very comfortable for me and for everyone that you work with.
Quick question, you know, real life example. You heard the treasurer talk about 529 plans here in the state of Illinois. You got kids?
Yes.
You got 529 plans?
Yes.
How do you like that? See, there you go. A real life example of it.
Yeah.
And I didn't know half of the stuff he said about those plans. Right?
For sure. I have one. And I didn't even know that. I'm thinking of starting a like a homeschool for myself and just there's got to be something against that.
I'll enroll.
Yep.
Ed's homeschool?
Mm-hmm. It's a very, very bad school. Nobody's learning anything.
Sold.
That's true for so many financial decisions that people make, though, is that
they don't know everything.
Correct.
Yeah. Right.
Correct.
And then, look, we've said this since day one on the show. One of the main goals of this show is to help our members with financial literacy because we go to work, we play hard, you know, we buy all the toys, but we don't really know much about our finances.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And a lot of the building trades husbands give it to the wife and go, here, take care of this, right? And so that's up to her to then learn, or he, if it's vice versa. It's not an easy thing to navigate, especially with the amount of benefits the building trades have, right? And then add in decisions like you said, like 529 plans, Social Security, you know, Medicare, like all these things have an impact on each other. So you wanted to come and talk about sort of the macro, right?
Yeah.
The big picture.
Yeah.
So tell us about that.
So that's one of the benefits, obviously, of working with an advisor, working with Megan, is that we do take that bigger picture approach. We obviously all know that we're making individual financial decisions every single day. And in the space that we live in right now, things are happening very quickly. You have to make instantaneous decisions. You don't always have time to take a step back and say, how does this fit with everything else that I'm doing?
Yeah.
And that's what we like to provide for members. So I'll give you two examples that I think resonate most with the people that we work with. One is in the trades in general. So if you're showing up to a job and you've got all the materials, you've got all the tools that you need, but no blueprint.
Right.
It's going to be harder to make something successful happen there.
Yeah.
And or in my example, because I'm not a very handy person, but I can cook. I can have all the organic ingredients from Whole Foods and everything right, but no recipe.
Mm-hmm.
So how do I put all that together to make something work that's successful, that it turns out the way that I want it to in the end.
You have to have a blueprint.
You have to have the blueprint. So that's what we come up with when we're meeting with members, is going over that plan to say, here are all the individual decisions that you're going to be making. Let's make sure that they actually coordinate together and are accomplishing the things that you want to have done, and that they're efficient too, because I know that you can only spend that dollar once. I know how hard you're working for those dollars. I want them to work hard for you too. Mm-hmm. So let's make sure all of these decisions are happening cohesively, but then also efficiently. Not just decisions today, but things that I'm making today that will affect 10 years from now.
So, you raise a good point, and I'm talking to you, the 25, 30, 35, 40-year-olds, et cetera, that are raising a family, that are years away from retirement, and aren't really thinking about it. You know, maybe it's worth a visit with Megan Financial to say, hey, here's who I am, here's what I have, and get that blueprint, right? Get that recipe, if you will, and put it in place. And now you got a game plan.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Right?
Important.
And because I look, same, right? I had no game plan. You know, I just had no idea.
No.
It didn't exist for us.
I want to ask, like, how is people's longevity impacting their retirement saving now that people are living to 80, 90, 100 even?
Great question.
Like,
so
yeah.
When I sit down with any member, that's one of the things I say to them is I'm one of the two of you, if I'm sitting with a couple, is going to be around for another 30 or 35 years.
Right.
So a lot of these decisions we make have to be forward thinking. It can't just be about, it's important today, right? I want you to enjoy your retirement. That's what you worked hard for. But I want you to enjoy it today and 10 years from now and 20 years from now.
For sure.
Because that's a thing that everybody worries about. But that kind of leads into that question. One of those frequently asked questions that we do get is, when should I take my Social Security benefit?
Right.
And that's one of those ones that sounds like an easy question, because that might be just a financial math question. What's my break-even point? If I wait, my benefit's going to get 8% bigger. Mm-hmm. So when should I take it? My friend said to take it this, or I read an article that said I should wait.
TikTok says this.
Yeah.
Instagram says that.
The most reliable sources say. Yeah. But There are so many layers to that question that it's not just about the money. The money and the financial aspect of it is important for right now, but it's also, when you look at someone not taking Social Security and they've got all these other pension benefits,
right?
And then we start talking about, well, at 73, you have to take required minimum distributions. We call them RMDs for short. And that can be a problem now, because we've got a good problem to have, right? Because people have these larger and larger 401k plans, these IRAs.
Yeah.
They're going to be faced with some pretty substantial distributions that they've got to take, talking about jumping tax brackets. But how can we plan for that now when you're retiring at 60 or 62 beforehand, and try and limit the amount of exposure that you have in those tax dollars that are going to get paid out? And not only that, the IRMA penalties that you might face at 65 for Medicare. So
what's IRMA?
It's a penalty that gets assessed for higher income earners on their Medicare Part B and Part D premiums. So people don't think about that, but RMDs can impact that. So if you have large 401k plans, and let's say you and your spouse both have large 401k plans, and you're both over 65.
And you're getting a pension.
And you're getting pension and Social Security, and you've got all this income, which is, again, a great problem
have. Yeah.
But then you're faced with, what if I'm going to get hit with a penalty for my Medicare, and I'm going to have extra tax to pay because now I've got to take
these substantials. So what do you do? Do you put them to a tax lawyer? Do you put them to an accountant?
Well, so that's part of it, right? Obviously, because we're not accountants, we're not attorneys. But we can say, what if that earlier question of, should I take my Social Security benefit now? What if we take that and kind of analyze that in the macro and say, planning forward, we know you've got this large 401k plan. We know you've got, your spouse has one too. We know there's going to be substantial required minimum distributions coming. What if we don't take Social Security now and we start systematically doing some conversions to a Roth today to make those plans lower balances, converting it into, we're going to pay the tax now, so we're not avoiding the tax, right? Mm-hmm. The tax is paid regardless. But then when it goes into that Roth, it's not part of that required minimum distribution calculation later. So those are the kinds of things that we can do in advance leading up to that required minimum distribution age, where we can't do that if we haven't planned in advance and haven't come up with that bigger picture.
Yeah.
people might not know that that's even an option.
And so you're saying like that there's a runway, I assume, that it's going to take X number of years to make those conversions because you can't just take it all at once and flip it, can you?
You could, but you wouldn't want to.
Got it.
You know, if you've got a sizable 401k plan, 500, 600,000 or more,
yeah.
and you're taking all of that as a conversion, you made $500,000 of income.
Yeah,
and now you're the 1%,
right.
you know, so you're paying higher tax. So within someone's tax bracket is what you would, I mean, my preference is, everyone obviously has their own avenue to do this, but my preference would be we look at your tax bracket, we know how much income you have. And again, if you're delaying that Social Security, potentially, we're going to take that income off the table. Now we've got more wiggle room in your tax bracket to make those conversions happen. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's not saying that someone shouldn't take their Social Security at 62 or 65, but what if we didn't? Then what are our options?
Right.
You know,
this is interesting. So, like, even listening right now, I'm confused. I'm not kidding.
I'm shocked.
Well, I saw your ears perk up when she started talking about people 60 and over. You're like, wait, what's going on with this Irma?
Yeah, exactly. Got a birthday coming up.
Yeah.
So, but like, you will say what you just said, because look, you're saying it fast and it's on the radio and we got a certain amount of time.
Sure.
But you'll sit down with members, because I've talked to, I don't know, tons and tons of our members that have sat down with you all. And you'll actually map it out with a pen and paper and go, okay, here's real numbers.
Yeah.
Let's plug in your benefits. And you guys have agreements with the unions, their pensions, where you can go, okay, Jim Smith is going to retire. I'm going to put in his paperwork. I need to see what his current blah, blah, blah is, right? And then you can actually take that and go, okay, here are your actual real numbers, right?
Yes.
And get on Social Security, right? You can get on Social Security online and see what your benefits are, right?
Yeah.
So you can do that too. So you'll sit there and explain this to our members, right?
Absolutely.
And you know how much that costs, Ed?
$0.
That is correct. Yeah. It's a good return on your investment.
It's an out. You can't find a better deal than that.
It's a great return. And the way and the way that you guys make money is when people have those 401ks.
Yes.
At the end of their careers, whether they were through Hancock or Fidelity or Empower, whoever that might be, they move them over to you guys, and then you manage that money.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the hope, yeah.
And you manage that money, and you give our members a 10% discount.
We
correct?
Do. Yep.
Right? And so you think, like, and by the way, your fees were already, I think, from when I did this, half a point less than some of the bigger institutions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've said this, I'll say it again. You know, when I first got, you know, got ready to retire from 150, you know, I talked to some of the bigger institutions. So like, you know, I have a pension, I have this. And then I was like, oh, so you have another 401k plan? I'm like, no, I have a pension. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you mean? I'm like, I have a pension. I don't know how else to explain it. They're like, well, that's another 401k, right? I'm like, Jesus Christ.
It is amazing how nobody knows what a pension is.
Which is sad.
Yeah.
You know?
But Megan does.
Yeah. And so you guys will actually manage our members' money. You understand what we do for a living. You'll give our members a discount. And if they decide not to move their money to you, you're still providing all this stuff for free.
Absolutely.
For free.
Right? Because of the relationship that we have through the coalition. So, you know, for you guys, it's an economy is a scale play, correct?
Yeah.
A quick question. Super quick.
Yes.
Ready?
All right.
News. 0.25% reduction in the federal rate.
Yes.
What does that mean for us?
I mean, means very little.
Okay, fair enough. Okay.
Means very little.
Wait,
it's what was expected.
Can't make any money from it?
I mean, not much.
No.
I think it was baked into the economy for a while now.
So now, but he said it's going to do it twice.
So that may make a bigger impact.
Okay.
Right? So the bigger we see, the more the average person is going to see an effect from that. What all I saw is the money market that I'm invested in went down for its interest rate.
You know? Right, right. Same, right? And so what does that mean, though? Like, it'll go down. It'll keep going down.
Yeah.
And what's the hope? Is the hope that you take your money out of the bank and put it in the stock market, put it in job creation? Like, what's the hope of lowering
purchase
the federal
a home.
Interest rate?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. Access to capital.
Yep.
Makes it easier, you know, in theory, for businesses to access capital. It's cheaper for them to expand and hire people. It's cheaper for people to buy a house, cheaper to get a car.
Right.
You know, so it's a stimulant to the economy. Is that's the theory behind it. That's
debt payments on the government's treasury sales go down.
Is that right?
Yeah.
There's a self-serving component to
it. For sure.
Yeah. Okay. I get it. So we have to just wait and see what happens, because if inflation goes back up, that means that either it freezes or it goes up, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And what's that called, you said, Ed, earlier? Stagflation?
Stagflation. When you have high inflation or rising inflation along with rising unemployment and sort of stalled economic growth.
And don't
usually those things work.
Are we not headed that way?
I think all the ingredients are there. We just don't know that we have the recipe.
I like
for stagflation,
whoa,
but rising unemployment and rising
very
inflation
nice.
Are there.
Good for you. That was really well done.
I was paying attention.
Yes, I can see. Thank you.
My eyes were glazed over, but you were actually paying attention.
I understand those big words.
No, listen, if somebody wants to contact, you know, yourself or anybody at Megan, where do they go?
Website's great place, Megan.com, M-E-G-E-N-T.com, or our phone number, 708-444-1090.
Say it again, 708.
708-444-1090.
1090. That's a play on the tax stuff, right?
Yes.
Oh, look at that. See?
It works out.
You got that one. My eyes were glazed for that one.
Yeah, all right.
Good one.
All right. Danielle Burton, investment executive extraordinaire from Megan Financial.
Oh, thank you.
Yep. Thank you so much for coming in. Thank you for all the hard work
that
you guys do for us and for the National Coalition of Labor. We really appreciate it. We will be back with more of the Workers Mic right here on 720 WG.
You're listening to the Workers Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premis Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. Hey, information about the National Coalition of Labor, I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it every week.
Mm-hmm.
Go to coalitionoflabor.org. Coalitionoflabor.org. You can see everything that we offer. If you're not a member, your union's not a member, talk to your union leaders and ask them to join. Lots and lots of unions are joining.
The union covers it, so the members, it doesn't cost anything to be a part of it.
Yeah, it comes out of the dues, and it's well worth it. So, that's my little plug.
Coalitionoflabor.org.
Yeah, thank you. So, interesting show today. Look, you know, why would we have the treasurer here? Well, the treasurer actually impacts, you know, our working people's lives. And, I didn't know what I don't know. And so that was interesting. And then you have Megan Financial, which, you know, once again, I'll tell everybody that's listening, you know, I don't care how old you are, go meet with them, go to a seminar, just pick up the phone, learn something, figure out the game plan. I think I like the way she said, you know, have a recipe.
Yeah, that was, right? I thought that was a very approachable way to think about
it. Yeah, same. And like, so go get one. If you're in your 30s, you're starting a family, you got a kid, mortgage, blah, blah, blah. You know, just go sit down with them. It's free.
At some point, like 5 years from now or 10 years from now, you'll have one of those financial decisions and you'll think, oh, I talked to somebody about this. And you'll have at least things will stick with you and they will help you. Because when you don't have millions of dollars, every dollar you have matters more.
Yeah.
So let's make smart decisions. That's what this is all
about.
The
union benefits are half the battle. Because everyone knows, hey, all right, cool. I get a pension. I get an annuity. I've got all these great benefits. But you got to know what to do with them.
Yes, right. You have to have somebody advise you what to do. And look, the coalition has provided you with a free access as to how to manage your money and prepare for retirement and prepare for your kids going to school. You know, I know that Megan Financial will say, like, yeah, now's a good time to buy a house, or here's what you should do in terms of refinancing and things like that. We also have the credit union that will give you that same advice.
Yeah.
So, hey, Phil, you got go ahead.
Well, I got to do one shout out, actually.
Oh, okay.
Big shout out.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Today, I'm going to a birthday party for a 100th birthday.
No.
For Ariano Nicoli, who is a member of the Mid-America Carpenters Union.
Uh-huh.
Good man.
My man made his money.
God bless him. He was an Italian immigrant, came over, worked for the railroads for a while, became a carpenter, built homes all over Park Ridge. Ariano, we love you.
So
congrats.
He's been
on your
collecting
birthday.
A pension for probably far longer than he worked.
Quite possibly.
That's amazing.
Good for him.
Yeah, that guy found the cheat code.
Yeah,
good for
him. Not many union members still in there who made it to 100, so God bless you, sir, and happy birthday.
Don't party too hard.
Mm-hmm.
Phil will be trying to get him to do shots, and then all of a sudden...
Shots!
Yeah.
What did you do?
Just take it easy. Don't sneak up on him. Don't talk too loud. No surprises, nothing.
Is he, like, standing? Like, is he in a wheelchair? Like, what's the...
No, he's still out and about. He's the man.
How do you like
that? He's one of my good friends, Krampus.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, super cool.
Yeah.
All right, that's awesome. Anything else, Phil?
Oh, the only thing I thought was kind of funny was in Michigan, there is a weed store, so everyone stay away from this.
There's
one.
There's more than one.
There. I know.
They're all, can't drive through Michigan without seeing
they're
signs.
Everywhere.
I heard it's really cheap.
That's what I heard, too. I wouldn't know. Exclusive Brands, they are our union buster of the week. They are trying to go to the NLRB to have their workers not recognized because they're claiming that because marijuana is federally prohibited, they should not be recognized for, I think the UFCW tried to organize them.
Yes.
And now they're trying to
eliminate that. And there's already existing precedent that there's, I mean, we know there's weed workers across the country who are organized in
North Carolina
unions. And they're saying, no, we need to repeal that because marijuana is prohibited. And now there might be a case they have. Who knows?
Yeah.
All right, listen. Super great show today. Once again, thanks for all your listeners' support, emails, text messages. We appreciate it, really appreciate it. We will be back next week with more of The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of The Workers' Mic was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare. For additional information and podcasts of The Workers' Mic, visit WGNRadio.com.